You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Lots of education to talk about today. It's National Lutheran Schools Week this week, so we'll continue that celebration of God's gift of Lutheran schools this week, and looking forward to some education that will be happening this summer. Vacation Bible School. Is your congregation preparing for Vacation Bible School? We've got a unique theme for this year's Vacation Bible School and our friends at Concordia Publishing House to help us out with that. Hope you can stick around for all our conversations as we focus on Christian education today here on Faith and Family. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on the KFUO.org website. In the sponsor section, you can find the CUW logo there, Concordia University, Wisconsin. My guest joining me today for Faith and Family, looking forward to Vacation Bible School 2017, Corrine Latimer with Concordia Publishing House. Good morning, Corrine.
Good morning.
It's so nice to have some time with you this January as we're planning for Vacation Bible School. But that is about the time that much Vacation Bible School planning begins, is January. Crazy to think that, isn't it?
It is. It is crazy. We just had our workshop this past Saturday to preview our Mighty Fortress theme for 2017. And we had 20 of the local churches come out and join us. So it was a great day. And that's nice to have the sun smiling on us these days.
Yes, it is nice to see the sunshine and kind of a glimpse of what we have to look forward to during those days when many congregations will be hosting Vacation Bible School. Now, for those who perhaps haven't experienced Vacation Bible School in a while, how would you describe Vacation Bible School today? It takes on, I'm sure, a variety of forms. How would you describe VBS today?
Well, Vacation Bible School is an immersive Bible camp experience. Kids go there. They learn five different Bible stories. We try to make our stories at Concordia Publishing a little bit non-traditional, the ones maybe they don't hear every Sunday at Sunday school. So gives it a fresh new look at the Bible. It's a perfect way to invite kids from your community and bring them into the church, and it's a great way to model the work and emphasis of the LCMS, which is Witness, Mercy, Life Together. So we just think VBS encompasses those three elements in the perfect way, and I just love the way our editor, Pam Numala, expresses it. She says it's the one time of the year where kids can take over the church and claim it as their own. So VBS is a great opportunity to reach out into your just reach out to new people, and we here at CPH try to ensure that we reach those kids by accessing their different senses, the way they learn. So whether it's playing games out in the grass or it's reading the word right out of the Bible, we try to meet those kids at their different learning styles.
And it's it appeals to different learning styles, and it can happen in a daytime setting. It could happen in an evening setting. Some of it may happen inside. Some may happen outside. It's one of the things that I've enjoyed about my involvement with Vacation Bible School in the past 10 years is that it doesn't necessarily have to be in a classroom with desks, but could be happening in a variety of settings.
Yeah, that's right. So no church does VBS the same way. So when you get your starter kit, your VBS is not every VBS looks the same. It's not going to be just take it out of the box and it looks like the other church down the road. So your VBS might be a weekend program. It might be a one-day program. We've had folks do VBS in their backyard, in their neighborhood. So instead of having kids come to the church, they bring the church to the community. There's all different formats and styles to do VBS. So, and we try to support those different styles by giving suggestions to help use those lessons in those various ways.
Perhaps your congregation hasn't had Vacation Bible School in a while. Maybe it's been a few years. Maybe it's been a decade or longer. Maybe we've never done Vacation Bible School before. Mm-hmm. What kind of support and resources are available to help someone learn how to launch a successful, welcoming Vacation Bible School to bring that good news of Jesus that you were talking about earlier, the study of God's Word in a variety of ways.
Right. So start small. Don't try to set large goals. Try to find some small goals to start with. Maybe do a one-day event on a Saturday and have your church come out, test the waters, and see how your volunteers can come together for that event. So in our resources, we do have a basics kit that we offer on our line on our website at cph.org that offers just some of the basic resources, which include Bible storytelling, Bible challenge, and just some of those simple things that you can do to get started. With any VBS, I would plan early. I would not wait till May, the month before school gets out to get started, because you are competing with a lot of camps nowadays. That's something that a lot of, I think, churches struggle with in terms of getting volunteers. When I talk to various churches, probably 90% of the time, that is the number one challenge, is getting those volunteers. And I think starting early is the most important thing they can do.
All right. So we'll get to that that timeline here in just a minute. We'll talk about that timeline. Before we get to that, though, in planning for Vacation Bible School, you mentioned earlier the theme for this year, A Mighty Fortress. Tell me about this theme for this year.
Yeah, so Mighty Fortress, you might have heard those words before from Martin Luther. We thought that would be a great theme for 2017 to help churches commemorate the 500th Reformation. This is not a Reformation VBS, but we wanted to provide something that would complement this special year. We have all kinds of churches from various denominations, so we wanted to make sure that our program did stand alone as a Mighty Fortress theme, but thought with that commemorative year, this would be a great way to complement that. The stories that we cover this year are God's Might Tumbles Jericho's Walls, God Delivers King Hezekiah's Kingdom, God's Word Reforms King Josiah, King Jesus Enters Jerusalem, and Jesus Wins the Victory. So we have a combination of Old and New Testament stories, but one thing that we do is we make sure that Jesus is in every story. So a lot of times when kids invite their friends to VBS, they may only come for one day or they might come for 2 days, and maybe they don't come for the New Testament story. But every kid that comes to our VBS will leave knowing that Jesus is our Savior. So every story is balanced with law and gospel, and it's it does proclaim the good news of Jesus. So we want to make sure that this is a proper outreach for your kids in the church and those that are visiting. One of the things I did want to also mention about this theme is that kids learn in life that the hard way that they can't win every race, they can't achieve perfect scores or always get the blue ribbon, but they do learn that they don't have to. Jesus is our ultimate champion, our Savior King, and he has fought and won the battle that we could not, and we share in his victory, and that's what a great celebration that Mighty Fortress is.
And to that we say thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I would gather we get to sing that that hymn as well, A Mighty Fortress?
We do.
Excellent. Well, you mentioned earlier planning for Vacation Bible School for this. Now we're planning for Mighty Fortress for this summer 2017. What are some of the first steps in that timeline of planning for Vacation Bible School? Where do you start?
Well, you start with prayer. That's the best place to start. And definitely get a team together of the key volunteers, the ones that are going to be your key leaders. I don't recommend anyone trying to be a VBS hero out there, because if your VBS director isn't happy, no one else will be happy. So be sure to get a strong team together, a team that will support you. And the great way to do that is greet people on Sunday, ask them if they would be interested in helping you, and then following up with a phone call. So the telephone and today in recruitment is still your most important tool. And then I also recommend getting together on a regular basis. If it's every week, maybe Sunday before or after church, even if it's for 15, 30 minutes, try to make small chunks and start forming those lists, planning key dates, and then it helps everybody be accountable to one another. But it's a great way to build up the skill set of your volunteers, a great way to mentor and bring in new leadership. And even the folks that were new last year or 2 years ago, every year, just keep building up your team, and I think that's a great way to start. One tool that we do have on our website at vbs.cph.org is a calendar. So if you type in your VBS date, it pre-populates 6 months of to-do tasks for you. So we try to make it easy.
Now that sounds very helpful. You put the date in on a calendar, and it helps you plan out where and when you need to be accomplishing some tasks in order to prepare adequately.
Right.
What about other resources that we might need to be thinking about now in order to be ready for Vacation Bible School this summer?
Okay, well, decorating is a great thing for VBS. It makes the experience more immersive. It helps kids transport into Bible times, and it also communicates those lessons in visual ways. So there's supply lists in our decorating tools, and sharing those supply lists with your community is a great way to find out what resources might be out there already. So whether they might be able to donate, some candles or some other castle-like decorations. We had a knight that was offered to us as a decorating item. You never know what you're going to find out there. But getting those lists out early, when people are out garage sailing, going in thrift shops, those are the things that pop in their mind when they know what you're looking for. So sharing those supply lists early is a great way to get some decorating resources. Another thing that I've suggested to our the churches at our workshop, and it seems like it's catching on, is forming some co-op groups. So if you can find a couple other churches that are in reasonable distance to you that are doing the same thing, you can work together in sharing and building those decorating items. So getting together once a week or every other week and building those things together really stretches the budget dollars and just helps you network with the other churches in your area.
That's a really good point. If there are some other churches in your area who are hosting Vacation Bible School, maybe a different week or a different time during the summer, you can collaborate and share some of those resources, some of those decorating ideas and resources. And you can really, if you pull your resources together, can come up with some really creative and neat ways to decorate for that. So I guess we're building castles for this summer. Is that right?
Yeah, we're building castles.
Mm-hmm. No, I know at Concordia Publishing House, usually you build some examples or prototypes. What was your favorite part of preparing for VBS and decorating?
Well, one of the fun things we have in our storytelling site is the Jericho's Walls story. So you take boxes, decorate them with some stone-like tablecloths, and the kids will have a great time knocking those over and over again. So that's a story that they'll really enjoy. And we also have our Bible Challenge site, Victory Village. And in our Bible Challenge, there is an optional Truth Be Told rotation that you can utilize. It does focus on Martin Luther and the Reformation. So if you wanted to plug in a little bit of Reformation in your VBS, we have an optional rotation, but you could use that as a fall program as well. But what's great about these decorations is that you can reuse them with any of your Reformation celebrations. So stretching the dollar with other churches at VBS, it just doesn't stop there, but we also hope you stretch your dollar with your Reformation celebrations by using these decorations again and again.
That's a great idea. Hold on to those decorations. You might use them in October as well, in the fall, in the Reformation celebrations. Great idea.
Yeah.
So how do you find other people? What's your advice for finding other people other congregations or who might be doing the same theme, might be using those CPH materials? Or how do you recruit those folks to help you start preparing and planning within your own congregation?
Well, so finding other churches in the area, we're here to help. So if someone is interested in joining a co-op group, we know churches who are using our program, and we're happy to try to connect them with those churches. So that's fairly easy. to find those volunteers, though, in your church, we have publicity resources that will help you get started. So bulletin inserts is a great way to start plugging that idea. We have a, in our pastor's overview, we have a guide just for our pastors, and I think we may be the only ones in the industry that provide that, but it just helps the pastor know how to help the VBS team. And in that sermon, he can use that as a recruitment sermon to really focus the congregation on VBS, to express what an important ministry VBS is. So one of the things I didn't mention earlier is that we believe VBS is not just an event, but it is the beginning. So it's the beginning of faith formation in the child. It's the beginning of developing new relationships, embracing new families in your community, and building up the ministry. So I really like to see VBS as the gateway for building the church. It's like one of the biggest opportunities to invite the community into the church in a simple way. And children are not the only ones that learn at VBS. Our editor, Pam Newmull, she's always finding ways to add additional nuggets to the lessons so that the adults also are growing from the experience. So VBS is the opportunity that should just not stop after that program's over, but reconnecting with those people, whether it's at rally day or a fall festival or at the Christmas program, but just continually going back to those people all year long. So I think it's part of a culture that can be developed in the church. And VBS doesn't require an airplane ticket to go out in the mission field. It's right in your backyard.
You mentioned the family. How can Vacation Bible School be an opportunity for the whole family to gather around God's Word and to invite friends, to invite neighbors and friends to come hear God's Word?
Well, you can have a format your VBS, so the rotation includes parents, but also the decorating projects, that can include the parents as well. So you can have some various planning days to help prep volunteers and getting to know what the lessons are, but it definitely is for the entire family, whether they're attending the VBS directly with the child, whether they're helping ahead of time. It can be a weekend planning project for those families that work full-time. Now I just lost my
That's okay. You mentioned earlier that Vacation Bible School can be a way to, like, you mentioned an example of reaching out to the community by a family simply hosting Vacation Bible School in their backyard.
Right.
This can be a way that is, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? That's open and friendly. It's not... It's a comfortable environment, I guess, in which to invite friends and families, where there aren't, big expectations on someone who's visiting, a friend or a family who's visiting. There isn't confusion. It's perhaps an informal environment.
Right. So, you know, someone who may not have grown up in the church, that could be a somewhat intimidating environment for them. So I think the home is the perfect place. I mean, that's where the church started, was in the homes. So I think it's a great way to kind of go back to that concept and be a light in the neighborhood. And I think it's easier for kids to invite their neighbors. They don't have to travel so far. They're just plugged in right there. And it's the relationships you already have right there in your neighborhood. So just extending and growing and deepening those relationships with people and connecting with them right there in, like you said, a non-threatening way.
And if you're hosting Vacation Bible School in your backyard, you don't have very far to drive in the morning whenever you're heading out to Vacation Bible School, right?
Right.
It could be a nice way to share with your neighbors, and a couple of families could get together and do that right there in their basement, in their backyard, wherever. I could see kids having a lot of fun building castles in their basement.
Yeah, they can build castles in their basement. They have backyards to play the games. So it makes it really easy. And
you mentioned games, and earlier you mentioned, you know, appealing to different learning styles. Let's talk a little bit more about that. How does the curriculum, Mighty Fortress, help appeal to different styles, different ages of children as well? How do you do that? What ways do you go about that?
Yeah, I'll cover a few of the different sites. So, for instance, our craft site. It's a great place to make some keepsakes that you can hang in your room or keep in your room, or mom puts on the refrigerator for everybody to see, but just to remind you of the message that you learned at VBS. But the crafts themselves involve fine motor skills, and we also design our crafts so that they can address various levels or ages. So for instance, our sand art might be a little bit complex for a preschooler, but it's designed such that they could color it instead of actually peeling off the sticky back and putting the sand on. So each of our crafts have various options for different creative styles, for different abilities, but it all works on that fine motor skill. And the craft involves the lesson. So the lesson does point back to whatever the story is of the day, whether it's Jericho's Walls or another story. So we don't have just a craft or just a snack just to enjoy because of the activity, but it does have a lesson and a take-home value to it. So again, the snack... some of our snacks are a little bit involved. You can choose not to do them and make them more simply, but the snacks that we offer have a lesson behind them. So, again, that involves fine motor skills. The games are a great way to get some of that energy out, but then after the game there's discussion, and, again, it ties back to the lesson. So everything that they do does walk the volunteer through the lesson. All the leader guides are designed to be grab-and-go, so that the volunteer really spends most of their time in relationship with that student. And I think one of the things that you had asked in this preparation is, how do we make the experience fun? And really the best way to make it fun is to focus on that relationship. Build those relationships with those kids. Be a listening ear to them. VBS can be a really hectic kind of a place, but focusing on those relationships, sometimes you might have to give up one thing here or there, but kids will definitely remember the experience that they had with those adults and with people who really cared about them. So that's what I think makes it the most fun. So the way we define fun here is that it's engaging and it's enriching. There's a lot of activities out there in the world that engage kids, but we want them to leave VBS enriched with a message that lasts forever.
Absolutely, that the message of Jesus and his love for them, his undying love for them. And that's what they're going to hear this year and every summer when we get together for Vacation Bible School. What if your congregation looks at this and says, I don't know if we could do a whole week. Maybe during the day wouldn't work for us. We don't have enough people that would be available during the day to do a whole week during the day. Any ideas how they might do something different than a daytime VBS that would require a lot of hands and hearts to help keep things running during the day? Other ideas?
Yeah. So a lot of churches do an evening program nowadays because, you know, the economy has really hit our communities and hard, and so folks are working full-time, multiple jobs, and so the daytime hours are more difficult to get volunteers, so they've moved to an evening program and also used it as a way to serve meals. So they might serve the Wednesday meal that you would do through your traditional church year. They do that in the summertime, but then have the VBS following. And the VBS might be 5 weeks, it might be 10 weeks. There's definitely enough information and lessons in our curriculum that could extend a 10-week Wednesday midweek type program. So it's an opportunity to serve the community, maybe with a dinner or a light meal, and then involving those families.
That's one of the things that I like about doing that in the evening, is that many more whole families can come together, and so parents can be a part of the rotation as well. The congregation I last served as a DCE, we did VBS in the evening, and parents were involved in the rotation. The whole family got to participate together in the rotation, going from lesson to activities and games and snacks and things like that. And then on the last night, we carried on with the theme that was assigned for that last night, the text and the Bible lesson. But instead of our regular rotation, we had a big fellowship meal where everyone brought a dish that pertained to that theme for that week, for Vacation Bible School. And that was a lot of fun. And even those who, even some of the families who didn't have children still came for that part of Vacation Bible School and were part of the big fellowship dinner. And we all sang the songs and hymns from that week as well. It was a fantastic way to gather together around God's good gifts of his good gift of his word. And also in that gift of fellowship that he gives us, especially around food.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That was a lot of fun. I think it was it might have been Amazing Desert Journey, and we had a lot of Mediterranean food that night.
Oh yeah, they gave it some cultural flair.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of what we would enjoy for a mighty fortress.
Maybe some turkey legs.
There you go. Well, how can we, I'm sure we can find more about VBS on the CPH website.
Right. So vbs.cph.org gives you all the information about our theme, gives you tools for planning. We have a tool called VBS Made. It's an online registration tool. So you just create an account and you can share that link with your community and it will help you with your recruiting. So I do encourage everyone to start early. As schools and camps start announcing their programs, we're competing with those as well. So that's a great tool to use, but the website's filled with other publicity resources, suggestions. We have very strong volunteer training resources on that website. So we try to make it accessible and available 24/7 because, like I mentioned earlier, we know that getting volunteers and getting their time is precious. So we want to equip them with that website and they can go there and get training there as well.
VBS.cph.org, the place to find Mighty Fortress for 2017 Vacation Bible School. Corinne Latimer, thank you so much for being my guest and sharing with us about this great resource, helping us start plan. Time to get that timeline up and start working on Vacation Bible School.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Same here. Thanks for being my guest. God's blessings as you prepare for Vacation Bible School 2018. I know that's probably in the books, starting to work on that already as well. Thanks so much, Corinne.
Okay, thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, more National Lutheran Schools Week. Going to visit with our friends from Lutheran High School South as they're visiting the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Two major media outlets blatantly displayed their pro-abortion bias. The New York Times did an article on the March for Life, but editors removed the author's references to the event's name, March for Life, calling it an anti-abortion march. MSNBC has a reputation for being pro-abortion and proved it on Sunday's program hosted by Joy Reid, while interviewing Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards about Congress diverting tax dollars from the abortion giant. Reid outrageously commented, "I think we need to be in fight mode as women." She even used the word "we" when referring to the group. Are we at risk now? Is Planned Parenthood at risk? In closing, she told Richards to come back, saying, "These airwaves are your airwaves." No wonder the media has lost the trust of the people.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
A long-standing tradition at Worldwide KFUO is to broadcast two live worship services for those unable to attend or for those who may benefit from hearing God's Word online or KFUO. From Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, Senior Pastor John Schenk leads the worship service at 8 a.m. The live late service at 10:45 comes from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri, where Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden is Senior Pastor. Hear the message of mercy and forgiveness during Sunday morning worship on Worldwide KFUO.
Imagine if I told you that an earthquake was going to hit tomorrow right where you live. That it would be 6.5 in magnitude with aftershocks occurring twice 25 minutes apart. You'd no doubt talk with your loved ones and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you an earthquake will happen tomorrow. But what if it does? Shouldn't you have a plan? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark
and Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky
inviting you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
30 minutes of laughter and the Word of God.
Saturday mornings at 9:05 on KFUO AM 850.
Or on demand at KFUO.org.
Whoa.
We put the fun in the fundamentals.
Saturday mornings at 9 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is National Lutheran Schools Week, and I always love having students in studio because I get to meet them, learn about their schools, learn about their teachers and other leaders in their school. We have friends from Lutheran High School South here this morning, musicians from Lutheran High School South who came to share great sacred music with us in chapel at the International Center. In studio today, their choir director, Mr. Greg Gassler. Good morning, Mr. Gassler.
Good morning.
Glad to have you, and thanks for coming back.
Our pleasure.
And bringing some students with you in studio this morning and bringing some fine music with us. Let's go around the room and introduce our students. First over here, we have John. Good morning, John.
Hi.
John, what year are you, sir?
I'm a senior.
Yeah. A senior. And I gather you sing as well?
Yeah, I'm a bass.
Bass.
Yeah.
You should say a bass.
A bass.
There you go. Thanks for coming over, John. And next up, we have Anna. Is that right?
Yes. Hello.
Good morning, Anna. How about you? What year are you?
I am a junior.
A junior.
Yes.
And what part do you sing in choir?
I'm an alto.
Very good.
Yes.
Very nice. And next up, Emily. Good morning, Emily.
Morning.
And how about you? What year are you?
I'm a senior.
Congratulations. What part do you sing in choir?
I'm a soprano.
Aha. Uh-huh. Very good. Well, let's see. We need a tenor. I guess we don't have... Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Jennifer, what year are you?
I'm also a senior.
Senior?
Yeah. And I'm a soprano, too.
A soprano. We have S-S-A-B.
I'll be the tenor.
Okay.
Yeah.
There
Mr.
we go.
Gassler
Mr. Gassler can be the tenor. I'm not a tenor, so I was aiming for four parts here. So Mr. Gassler can be our tenor this morning. We should have had you sing something this morning. Did you prepare anything a cappella? No.
Well, what do we got?
Let's what see. Do we
it's
have?
It's a little close, but you can That's use right. the tracks from chapel.
All right, so we have some seniors, juniors, seniors and juniors, right?
Yes.
Senior, junior. Mr. Gessler, what year are you in high school?
I think this is like you're 16 or something. For me,
so. Super senior.
Super senior.
Senior at Lutheran High School South. Now, you've been teaching for 16 years at Lutheran High South.
Not at Lutheran High South. This is my ninth season at Lutheran High South.
Ninth year. And tell me about the classes that you teach and the music groups that you lead there.
We have both, of course, band and choir programs at Lutheran South. I get to work with the choir programs. We have three choirs taught in four different classes, a boys choir, a young women's choir, and then mixed choirs. And then we also have a general music class for studying music and culture specifically for students who don't want to perform. Mm-hmm. We also, of course, have, although I do not direct them, we have an excellent band program of two large mixed programs, a full band programs, a concert band and wind symphony. And those students are drawn, of course, from the elementary middle schools that are taught by those same directors.
Wow, so quite a comprehensive music program when it comes to the music and arts. All right, so we've got seniors and juniors, so you could probably see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Yeah. Not yet, by the way.
Close enough.
What, aside from your music classes, aside from choir, what are some of your other favorite subjects or favorite things, activities that you enjoy at Lutheran High School South? We'll start with John.
Activities or classes or like subjects that I enjoy. I really enjoy sciences. So, Mr. Rush is my favorite teacher because he taught geology and astronomy, and he teaches anatomy too. So, he is my favorite teacher. I just really like his teaching style.
So you like Mr. Rush, you like sciences.
Yeah.
Are you thinking, what are you thinking about in terms of your future? What are your hopes?
Although it doesn't really go along with what I like, it sort of does. So I'm planning on becoming a middle school science teacher. So
that's very fitting.
Yeah.
If you like science.
But it's middle school, so it's not like really the hard pressing matters.
You haven't taught middle school before, have you?
Apparently not.
Not yet.
You might change your perspective on that.
I might.
I love middle school students. Actually, that was when I was teaching, that was one of my favorite places to be. Perhaps because, well, I don't know, maybe I was on the same level as middle school students, but I enjoyed teaching middle school. Well, all right. Anna, how about you? Favorite class, favorite subject or activity at Lutheran High South?
I very much enjoy English. That is very fun. I'm currently in AP English with Mr. Nations. He's a very fun teacher, and but he just had a baby as well, so we missed him for about a week. But it's very fun, and last year I was in honors with Miss Pittman, and she definitely prepared us for AP because that test is going to be killer. So, yeah.
So AP. Now, for our listeners not familiar with AP, what does that mean?
Advanced placement. Yes, it's a college level course.
So that gives you some advanced placement. You can earn college credit.
Yes,
that basically would eliminate the need to take an English course in college. Then.
Right. Yeah.
One less English course, I should
say,
in college. Very good. How about you? What are you thinking about life after high school?
I'm thinking about it. I don't exactly know which college or what I want to do yet, but I do enjoy God, you know, so something with that, I think.
Very good. Yeah. Emily, how about you? Favorite subject or activity at Lutheran High School South?
I'm also a big fan of science, especially anatomy and biology, and my favorite teacher is Mr. Rush, too. He's my anatomy teacher right now, so.
Anatomy is a hard class from what I understand.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. So why aren't you studying right now?
I'm actually supposed to be in anatomy right now. So. I'm missing a little bit of that. But,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
You can't blame me if you get a low grade on the next test.
I'll be fine.
All right. And what about you? What are any ideas?
I am planning on becoming a physical therapist, and I'm looking at Concordia University, Nebraska.
Very good. Well, you better keep working on the anatomy then, huh? Anatomy and physiology. You've got a lot of... interesting, but very challenging classes ahead of you, I'm
Definitely.
Sure. And Jennifer,
Yes, hello.
Good morning. What is your favorite subject, favorite activity at Lutheran High School South?
Just to hop on the bus here. So I also like science quite a lot. Mr. Rush and Mr. Schmidt, I need to say him too, because I really enjoy him as well as a teacher. He's my biology teacher, my AP biology teacher right now. And I've also taken anatomy and physiology. I took that last year, and I really enjoyed that with Mr. Rush as well. I like school a lot, so it's really hard to pick a favorite subject, especially at Lutheran South, because there's just so many good teachers and subjects.
What are you thinking after high school?
I am very excited to be going to Truman, and I'm going to either do chiropractic sciences, or be an optometrist.
So something in caring for others in the means of a healthcare field.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's good that you like the sciences too, then.
Yeah.
That's very good. We have a lot of students that like science in here this morning.
Yeah, isn't it a great subject?
Absolutely. Well, with all the, do you sing in, obviously you sing in English. Do you sing in other languages in your choir as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any? So we've sung in French, Latin, Japanese.
It was a Chinese.
Yeah. The Mollywa piece.
As a musician myself, I will say, embrace the languages that you've been singing in, especially if you're going to study the sciences, particularly Latin. It's going to be very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that already?
Yes.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, when you're a musician and you're singing, you learn how to pronounce them correctly.
At least hopefully.
Wow. So lots of dreams and plans and hopes. How do you think Lutheran High School South is preparing you for that next step? I know several of you mentioned college, looking forward to college down the road. How do you think your high school is preparing you for that next step? Since we just talked with Jennifer and already have plans for Truman State University, how do you think your high school is preparing you for that next step?
Academically, anyway, it's a very elite school, I would say. It's very, you have to really work hard in order to maintain the grades that you, like, for me anyway, and I know most everybody in this room really is studious and wants to get those good grades and everything. And at Lutheran South, they really push you, but in a good way. And I feel like you can really develop your area of interest at Lutheran South. We might not be the biggest school, but they really do have teachers who are there who help you and will go out of their way to make sure that you are succeeding. And I just really think that Lutheran South does a good job of that.
So academically rigorous.
Yes.
And engaging.
Yes, very much
so. You said your teachers and others push you, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I enjoy a challenge, so maybe some kids don't, but I personally like it when a teacher notices my potential, maybe that I don't even see, and then kind of encourages me in that direction, even if I'm kind of, which is what I meant by pushing, kind of, if I'm kind of hesitant, but they can see that I would really succeed in that area, and then they push me towards that area.
Very good. So helping you find those areas where you really can excel.
Yes, sir.
How about you guys? What do you think? Are you feel like you're going to be prepared for that next step for college?
I think they will, because they've implemented a new schedule called the FlexMod schedule. So that it gives you anywhere up to like sometimes 3-hour breaks in the middle of a day. So that's going to really help for like time management and making sure that we keep to our time and do our homework when we're off or we don't have plans later in the day or something.
Tell me a little bit more. So this new schedule can allow for, as you said, up to 3 hours in the middle of the day for study and preparation. So you have to learn how to use that time appropriately.
Exactly.
It's not that someone else is telling you, you have this due and this due. You're the one who has to figure that out. Is that right?
Right.
So you got to stay on top of it.
But that's a graduated program, so that freshmen come in or have a little bit of discretionary time. And then as they mature year by year, they're given more of that discretionary time to use and to get support from their teachers as well during those times.
What do you guys think? Do you like this model? Has it have you adapted to it quite well?
Is it it's a good schedule.
Yeah. I really like it.
It gives you what are some of the benefits that you see to it that you see from this type of model?
So I'm not particularly good with doing my homework at home. So when I have time in the day to do it, I know I won't do it later, so I'll sit down during my breaks and do it then. So that, honestly, the schedule helps my grades. So
helps you stay on.
It helps me stay on my task, doing things.
Would you say it's just because studying during the day works better for you than studying in the evening, just because of the time of day?
It might be something like, I know it's the case for me. Or something.
Yeah, it's the case for me. I can't study. I try reading in the evening and I fall asleep when I'm sitting around trying to read a book in the evening. And, you know, middle of the day or earlier in the day, in the morning, sure, I can read and actually comprehend something. If I try it after dinner, it's pointless. So that makes sense. Well, I'm glad that that schedule has worked well for you. Anybody else seen benefits from the schedule that has been a benefit to you personally?
It's also very nice to have time during the day to go find your teachers when you need help. On your homework or studying or anything, because when you're at home, you can't really like get to a teacher. So it's nice to have time where you can actually go see them when you're not at home.
So it gives you some accessibility to your teachers.
Definitely, yeah.
Nice. So that sounds more like a college environment. So when you make that transition to college, if college is in your plans, when you make that transition to college or even to a career, either one, that it's more like how the rest of the world operates. Well, very good. What about what are some things that you do outside of class? What are some things that that you enjoy doing? I know some of you have been involved in mission trips. One of you has something really exciting coming up with this week.
Tomorrow
morning. Well, let's start with Jennifer's story. You are involved in music. Obviously, all of you are involved in music. But something really unique, a great opportunity for you this year happened.
Yes. So this year I made it to Missouri All-State Choir. So, and I also made it last year along with a fellow classmate of mine who's, also in my choir. His name is Chris. And, but this year I get to go with Mr. Gassler to Tantera and sing with the All-State Choir. I mean, we had to go through districts and do various auditions to get to this point, and they weeded everybody out, and now it's just about 200, would you say? Mm-hmm. About 200 of kids from all over Missouri who just love music. And we get together for a week and we study. Right. A very difficult set list, but it's really awesome at the end.
Now, in order to go to All-State, were you involved in all? Do you still have All-District as well?
Yes.
I made it to All-District. I never made it to All-State. One of my classmates made it to All-State Choir, but I made it to All-District, which was, for me, it was just a phenomenal experience because the clinician that you get to work with, the director for that clinic that you get to study with that day, and you're preparing music with fellow musicians and really getting to learn things that are just, you know, even a step above the great music that you're already learning in your fine program at your school. So, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very exciting. What are you looking forward to most this year with All-State Choir?
I love Mr. Gassler, but it's always exciting for me to be under the direction of a new director who has had different life experiences and is in a different environment in their regular day to come to teach us. And it's just always exciting to learn from a new person.
And to be able to walk in, I mean, you've had the music beforehand to prepare, but to walk into this environment where you all know this universal language of music, and all have this skill set that you walk in, but to be able to come together with people you don't know, and to be able to sing together and make great music with them. How many musicians, how many students are in All-State Choir? Anybody know?
Around 2 to 250. I'm not sure I have the exact number, but.
So of some of the most skilled and talented students from across Missouri. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Heading out tomorrow morning and 4 days of that at the Missouri Music Educators Association Convention at Tantera, Lake of the Ozarks.
Yes.
And Mr. Gassler, you get to get together with all of your music education colleagues and tell stories about how wonderful your students are.
That's right. And they are. I'm very blessed.
Aw.
Oh, shucks. And let's see, Anna, you're involved in a mission project every summer, is that right?
Yes. My church, Peace Lutheran Church, we have a mission team that goes out to Alaska every year, every summer for 2 weeks. And We go out, and it's a very remote village. It takes us 4 planes to get out there, one of them being a little bush plane that carries 9 people. So that's really fun. I go back every summer. We hold a VBS, a Vacation Bible School, out there. And we also do a teen talk, and so we interact with the teens and see their struggles. And then we have a women's Bible study, and then they're trying to start up a men's Bible study too as well. So that's pretty exciting. This is the, our mission group is the mission group that has been going to the same village the longest. So we've been going about, I'd say about 20 to 25 years to the same village called Hooper Bay. It's right by the Bering Sea. I have been in there. It's very cold.
I'm sure.
Yes. But it's very fun and exciting because I get to see all the kids grow up, and I've been there. This will be my 3rd year, I believe. So it's very fun. Yes.
Well, congratulations on just the opportunity to get to go back and to bring that word of God to our friends in Alaska. And God's blessings on, I assume you're going back this year as well.
Yes, I am.
God's blessings on your travels and your preparations for that as well. That brings up a good point. What are ways that that you are given to serve others at your school, whether it be in your school or in your community? What are ways, as a student at Lutheran High School South, that you get to serve others? We'll start, we'll come over here to John.
So I play guitar for my church with youth group and sometimes in services. So my choral gift, as long as my guitar gifts, it really matters to a lot of people. A lot of people have come up to me and said, I really enjoyed it. Like, thank you so much for doing what you do. So it's really touching.
So being able to serve as a musician in your church, mm-hmm. to whether it's through times of fellowship or those times of worship and those worship services, to be able to serve as a musician, bring God's gift of music.
Yeah.
And let's come back over here. What are ways, other ways that you get to serve as a student?
We have Kairos groups where we, it's a 15-minute time. We do it twice a week where we meet together with a group of students and we have devotions, we play games. So that's good. But involved with that, we have Faith in Action. So we do Special Olympics in the spring. So we have a Special Olympics at our school, and in the fall, we do a bocce ball tournament for special needs kids.
Very good. Anyone else, other ways that you get to serve in your school?
We have such student-based groups as mm-hmm. National Honor Society. We have a new Key Club, which has been developed this year for service to the community. Students are also have the requirement and the expectation that, depending on their particular grade level, they will do service in the community, 20 hours for underclassmen, 30 hours a year for the seniors, and that runs the gamut from helping with programs at their church to mm-hmm. to community-based projects as well.
Well, we have just about a minute left. Anyone you want to give a shout out to or a thank you for your opportunity to be a student at Lutheran High School South? We'll start over here, and then we'll come back to Mr. Gassler as we wrap up.
Definitely my parents. Excuse me. They have put me into a private school, a parochial school. Like, from kindergarten and on, I went to multiple different grade schools because, like, they just kept shutting down and everything. But each time I was introduced into a new environment, it was always a Christian environment. It was always a very welcoming and Christ-based, area and environment. And it was really good for me. So I just want to thank my mom and dad.
Emily, anyone you want to thank or a shout-out to?
Definitely my mom and dad for putting me through Lutheran school from preschool to now. So
very good. Anna?
Thanks, mom and dad. Mom is listening right now. Yay. So thank you for doing that. For moving us from St. Genevieve all the way here to bring me to a Lutheran school. Wow. I really appreciate that.
John?
Parents for finding the schools, grandparents for just being there for me.
Very good. Mr. Gassler, we have just about a half a minute left.
Just want to acknowledge the large group of volunteers, largely unnamed, who make Lutheran Christian education possible, from people on the boards of directors to parents who come help with athletic events, come to concerts, you name it. And we're blessed by those nameless individuals, as well as local Lutheran congregations who partner with us in making Lutheran Christian education possible.
Lutheran High School South. You can find it online as well.
Correct. LHSSSTL.org.
Very good. Thank you, friends, for being my guests this morning. Thanks, everybody, for being here on Faith and Family and for bringing your great music to us as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.